What is the church universal? The church universal is something which our Lord said, I will build my church. It is something that comes from the Lord Himself. The Lord is the builder. The Lord is in charge. The Lord is working. It is true in the church local we are all employed in that building. But you do not build each according to your idea or your whim. We build under the authority of our head. So you see, in everything, I do not have the time to go into all these things, but in everything you'll find what is the principle of the church universal is now being brought into practice in the church local. What constitutes a local church? What local church do you belong to? I'm at a loss. I don't know how to proceed. All right. Let me digress a little. I'll give my testimony to you. Not that my experience is typical, but just to illustrate. As I told you yesterday morning that I was brought up in a Methodist church. I was saved among the holiness people. I wasn't saved among the Methodists. Because our type of Methodists are not the shouting types. I wasn't saved there. But the Lord brought me among the holiness people. You know, that holiness people actually is a branch of Methodism. It is still Methodist. And by the grace of God, I wasn't saved by Methodism though, I was saved by the Lord. I have to make that clear. But I was saved among the holiness people. Now after I was saved, having joined myself to the Methodist church even before I was saved, I became a member of the Methodist church before I was saved. And an active member too. So after I was saved, of course I become more active. Even though at that time I was quite young, I was still in high school, but the Lord has set a fire. So I was very active in the Methodist church. Whenever this Methodist church, of which I was associated with, had a gospel meeting, you know. Sometimes they had gospel meetings. I was not old enough to stand on the pulpit. They wouldn't allow me to do that. But one thing I volunteered to do. That is, I went to the streets. When there was a gospel meeting in the church building, I will be standing on the street trying to pull and push and persuade people, force people to get into the building to hear the gospel. That was my work. And I can tell you a story. You know, in Shanghai we have rickshaw, you know? That was during the early days. Very few people have cars. Even if you have cars, it's not too comfortable because of the way the streets are paved. We have rickshaw, you know. And of course, on the street, there will be rickshaws just standing there. And the rickshaw man will be sitting in the rickshaw waiting for business. Now, I tried to get the rickshaw man into the hall. And he said, I couldn't do it. I'm waiting for business. I cannot leave my rickshaw and go in. Well, I think he should hear the gospel. You know what I did? I was standing by him and talked to him about the gospel. He wouldn't listen. He put his hands upon his ears. He wouldn't listen. So I shout. I have a loud voice. Well, I was very active. And I was too active, in a sense. That Methodist church is not enough for my activities. So, even though I was very young, I joined myself with lots of activities. I joined in with activities of visiting prisons. I was in prison many times. And I visited hospitals. And we organized evangelistic bands going to the villages. And I can tell you, we went to the villages, you know, we tried to preach the gospel. We were all very young high school students. But we were on fire for the Lord. So we went to these places. And when we went to preach in the villages, well, people would say, well, here is someone sick. They expect us to pray for the sick. We went. And I remember very vividly, we went into one house, a boy was sick. And we all knelt down and some put the hand upon the feet, some put the hand upon the head and all over the body. And we pray and ask the Lord to raise up that boy. Actually, he was dead already. And he was dead of meningitis. But you can see the fervency, the zeal I was in. That's all I know about the church. That's all I know about the church. I was very happy. I was very busy. I was very active. I felt everything was fine. Yes, I met Brother Mee very early. Within the year, I was saved. I heard him. I can still tell you what he spoke. That was about 40 years ago. I was impressed. I went to the place where he spoke. I listened to him. I was impressed. But I wasn't ready for what the Lord has shown me. I wasn't ready. I was too active, too busy, too successful. But the Lord, in His strange way, you know, when I was saved, another funny thing. In the old days, when they have a revival meeting or a conference, you know, always the same thing. The last day of the conference is the day of consecration. That's always the same thing. So I was saved just a day or two before the last day of the conference. And then on the last day of conference, a large map of China was put on the wall behind the platform. And the preacher began to pump. Anyone who really loved the Lord, anyone who wants to serve the Lord, volunteer. Come up. Point your finger on the place that you will go for the Lord. I was just saved. I was constrained by the love of Christ. I walk up the pattern. I put my finger on Mongolia. I felt if I want to serve the Lord, I want to go to the furthest place, to the most difficult place, to prove my love for my Lord. I did it with sincerity, with honesty. I did not know at that time that He is the Lord of the harvest. He has to send. He does not want volunteers. But anyway, I volunteer my service. And I made it. It wasn't an emotional thing just at that moment. I meant it. After I did it for a whole year, I tried to get everything on Mongolia, to read about Mongolia. I prayed every day about this thing. I set my heart and my mind towards Mongolia. I felt that this is the place I will go to serve the Lord. I will not go to college. I thought it was a waste of time. What's the use of going to college and spend 4 years there and try to learn the things of this world, which is refuge to me? So I determined in my heart, how can I serve the Lord? Well, the only thing I know how to serve the Lord is go to a Bible school. How can you prepare yourself to serve the Lord if you don't go to a Bible school or a theological seminary? Sure, that's the only thing you can do. That's the only thing I knew. So I chose my own Bible school. It was a good one. I associated with them in evangelism. So I knew them. And after I graduated from high school, I had a talk with my father. I have a good relationship with my father. But you know the Chinese family. The relationship between the father and son is rather formal. He loves us very much. We respect him very much. But it's a little bit formal, you know. So after I graduated, I talked to my father. I said, I had determined to go to a Bible school, to prepare myself for the service. I thought my father certainly would agree, because my father loved the Lord very much, and he was a Methodist pastor. But to my surprise, my father objected. My father said, "Son, no. You are not going to Bible school. Now, you go to college. After you finish college, I will send you to United States of America to study theology." So I should come many years ago to this country to study theology. I was depressed. My whole plan was shattered. I thought, what can I do? As a young boy, I had to obey my father. I had to go to college. But my plan was shattered. God moves in a mysterious way. In going to college, I had to leave my home for the first time. I had to leave that warm atmosphere among God's people. Oh, we have so many dear high school. We have meetings 3 times a week. And 1/3 of the student body came to the meeting voluntarily. Many of the faculties came. Many got saved. We had very good time together. And the Lord took me away and put me in another city, in an entirely different. When I arrived in the city, of course, it was a university run by the Methodist Church. My root in Methodism is very deep. I went to that university, and as soon as I got to that university, I threw myself immediately into activities again. There was a university church nearby. There was Sunday school. So I once again threw myself into it, you know. I made a sad discovery. I want to open myself to you, brothers and sisters. You forgive me. I have to go on. I discovered one thing. I discovered there are different kinds of so-called Christians. I never dreamed. I thought that all Christians are alike. All Christians believe in the Lord Jesus. All Christians believe in the Bible. All Christians love the Lord. That's what I know. But when I went to that university, I didn't know it was the center of modernism in East China. I didn't know that. I came into collision. Whenever in our discussion time, I try to bring out the Lord. I try to bring out the Bible as it is. My missionary professor will cut me off and try to bring in the economic, the political background and things like that. Every time. And gradually the Lord opened my eyes to see and say, no, this is not it. This is not Christianity. This is not Christian. They don't even believe the Bible. I gradually withdrew myself from these activities. But I had to be active. So I asked my father. Later on, my father moved to that same city. He became the pastor of the university. So I asked my father to give me some work to do. And you know, because of my youth, he will not make me the superintendent of the neighborhood Sunday school, but actually I ran that. In the afternoon, Sunday afternoon, we went out to gather children on the streets. There were children who lived in boats. They live in the river. These wild children. Never heard the gospel, never learned discipline, never. We gather them and help. I did it for a long time. I enjoyed it. But the one thing that I lacked most during the early days of my college years is Christian fellowship. I was taken out of a warm Christian atmosphere and was put in an icebox, as it were. I had almost no fellowship. The only comfort I had was in my own room. I lived in school in the beginning. We had three in the same room. My only comfort was with the Lord. Every day I spent hours on my knees before the Lord. I read the Bible on my knees. I prayed. Students would go in and out of the room. I didn't care. I had to get to the Lord. That was my only comfort. And that sustained my life before the Lord. I was longing for fellowship. It was during that period I began to read some writings by our brother. And these writings began to make sense to me. When I was in the activities, these things come and go without making any impact. Yes, any impression is good. But that's all. But when the Lord put me aside and in my quietness before the Lord began to open up something to me. He began to open up. Of course, the first thing that really came to me was this matter of baptism. I was baptized in the Methodist Church when I was an infant. That was the practice of the Methodist Church. After I was saved, one of my friends, actually he was my classmate and later became my fellow worker. He was also a son of a Methodist preacher. After a year, he got baptized by immersion. So he came back to us and tried to talk us into it. And I remember very vividly myself and another friend, a teacher in our high school. We were all saved around the same time. He was also a son of the Methodist preacher. And when this brother came and tried to convince us of the need of baptism by immersion, believer's baptism, we too argue with him, you know, and by sheer force, silence him. But the Lord began to speak. You cannot silence the voice of truth by argument. You can delay it, but you cannot silence it. After, I think, a year or within a year, this brother who stood with me against that brother was baptized. So I was left there. And they tried to work on me. This brother wrote a long letter to me explaining why he was baptized, you know. And when I read that letter, I threw it away and said, if you want to be baptized, go ahead. Why bother to explain to me? But one holiday, I went to Shanghai. And this brother has moved to live with Brother Mee. I visited this brother. And he began to work on me again. I was so angry. He saw that I was angry. So he left me alone. And there I was alone. I was praying. I said, Lord, you know very well, one day I will be baptized. I know it. But it is not convenient now. You know my father is a Methodist preacher. Well known. How can I be baptized? By immersion? And if this news should go out, what will happen to my father? I love my father very much. I cannot do it. But after I graduate from college, after I become independent, I'll do it. I promise you, I'll do it. I know it is right. As I was praying to the Lord in this manner, the word of God came to me. He who loves his father and mother more than me can be my son. Dear brothers and sisters, all my life, I have one desire to be his disciple. So when that word came to me, I cannot argue anymore. I told the Lord, all right, I'll be baptized. I went down from the upstairs. Went to the other stairs, knocked the door. I asked to see Brother Mee. I wanted to talk with him. I told him I wanted to be baptized. And I was baptized that very evening. Dear brothers and sisters, the reason why I mention this is because this is the first step that leads me to further on. After I was baptized, I remained there with them on Sunday. And of course, on the Lord's Day, they always have the Lord's table. I took communion in a Methodist church once a month. And it was very real to me. I went to the communion, I can remember. I went to the communion with a very honest heart. I knelt at the altar when I took the communion. And it was very real to me. But when I had the Lord's table with our brothers and sisters there in Shanghai, in that most simple way of remembering the Lord, immediately I know in my heart, I cannot go back to the Methodist Church and have communion there. I cannot do it. Because I know the people who kneel with me do not believe in the Lord. How can I have fellowship with them over the same table, same bread? I cannot do that. But it became a problem to me. My father was the pastor there. Everybody knew me. I was a very zealous person. I was supposed to continue my father. I was promised to be sent to this country to study theology. Everybody thought that I would succeed my father. How can I do it? But I knew I could not go back and have communion with those who do not believe the Lord. This is not the body. I have to discern the body. But anyway, I broke the bread there. I went home. I didn't know how to solve this problem. Every month on the first Sunday, I try to think of an excuse not to be present. I dare not to tell my father what happened to me. But I just try to keep myself away. Every first Sunday of the month. And dear brothers and sisters, I have to tell you that it is very difficult. It is very difficult trying to serve two masters. I have done that. Gradually, the Lord began to open more to me. Yes, I still went to the Methodist Church. I still was involved with the neighborhood Sunday school. But during this period, the Lord began to open more and more to me. The Lord began to show me that the Lord's people cannot be divided. You cannot divide God's people into Methodists, into Presbyterians, into Baptists, into all these sects and parties. That is not the Lord's design. The Lord wants His people to be one. To be one. It is the body of Christ. I do not know too much at that time yet. But gradually the Lord began to show me. I have to be one with my brothers and sisters. I have to stand on the ground of the unity of the body of Christ. I find it increasingly difficult to continue in that way. And thank God during that period, the Lord gave me some brothers and sisters. We have two or three brothers in the same university. And during the week, three or four of us will go and find an empty room and pray together. And then later on the Lord's Day, we don't know anything. We don't know anything at that time. But on the Lord's Day, after a while we began, just the three or four of us, we used a classroom, and we began to break the bread without knowing what's involved. We feel that we want to remember the Lord. We just break the bread together. And then we heard way out on the other side of the city, there was a hospital. It was a Presbyterian hospital, a big one. And we heard that there were some sisters there who took train by turn to Shanghai to meet with the brothers and sisters there. So finally we got together. They have four, we have three. We got together. And we say, let's pray. And see what the Lord wants to do. We pray for the happy without coming together. After half a year, the Lord moved us all to feel that we should come together. So we came together. I remember very well that was about 38 years ago. We came together, and on that day, just the seven of us, we broke the bread together and remembered the Lord. And everyone cried for joy, sensing the presence of the Lord. Just as we began, the Lord brought His servant to our midst. We have to borrow benches, and we met in a sister's home. That is our sister Miss Goose's home. Her sister were there at that time. We met in that time. And dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you one thing. For quite a long time, I was in struggle. On the one hand, I saw something. I saw what the Lord was after. I saw that God's people must return to simplicity. God's people must return to unity. I saw it. Dimly I saw it. It was drawing my heart. More and more I was moving in that direction. And now the Lord has given brothers and sisters a few, yet we come together in fellowship. And I could see the Lord will be adding to us. In a sense, environment was such, I had to. Take the lead in everything. The sisters, two sisters especially, they were much more advanced than we were. We were all students. There were two sisters, Miss Goose's sister and another sister. They knew the Lord much more than we do. But they wanted to keep their place as sisters in the church. So they will want the brothers to take the lead, you know. Of course, we fellowship with them because we knew very little at that time. And yet, we had to take the lead. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, I remember that when we first met, I was everything and everywhere. I usually was the first one arrived there to open the door, swept the floor, set the chairs, waiting for the brothers and sisters to come, open the meeting, lead the prayer, preach the word, count the money, not alone, send the brothers and sisters off, close the door. Foolish. But on the other hand, one of my feet was still in Methodism. I was pulling between two poles. To me, it is the church of Methodism. I only relate my experience. I have been exercised over this matter for some months. I knew that if the Lord was going to find a way in my city where I study. Something had to be settled in my life. I couldn't go on in this way. I couldn't. If I was like that, what would happen to other brothers and sisters? They were looking to me to lead them, in a sense. I was deeply exercised, very much exercised, for months. And then a servant of the Lord came. The first morning, it was a Sunday morning, he preached on Luke chapter 14. And the essence was, before you do anything, sit down and count your cost. Lest you cannot finish it. Then it will be something to be laughed at. It touched my heart. So after the meeting, we all ate together, you know, being new, you know. We invited the friends to come to here. And then we all rested a while for the afternoon meeting. I was sitting there alone by myself. I was praying. Lord, you know something isn't right in me. I want to go all the way with you, but I cannot. The ties are too strong. Too strong. I said, Lord, is it because I have never really counted the cost? All right, let me count the cost. See whether I can follow you or not. So I began to count. Oh, I counted my cost. Well, if I should follow the Lord in the way that he is leading me, probably I cannot continue in that university. I will be cast out. If I continue in this way, probably I will be cast out from my home. If I continue in this way, I will never be able to go to the United States to study theology. If I go this way, everything will be finished. My plan, my desire to serve the Lord, because I knew nothing, no other way, were all these smashed to pieces. I felt the cost was too great for me. I told the Lord, it's too great. Too great. I saw the Lord. Whether it is physical or mental, I don't know. But I saw him. I saw him coming to me. Show me his hands. And he told me one thing. I did all these for you. And brothers and sisters, when I saw the bleeding lamb, my only answer was, Lord, everything, everything, my blood, my everything belongs to you. I cannot waver anymore. It's you. Thank God by his grace, it was settled in my heart. But that doesn't mean the problem was solved. It was just a willingness. It took me 3 days and 3 nights. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I went to classes. I didn't hear a word. I was struggling and struggling and struggling before the Lord. The Lord said, you have promised. You have given yourself to me. All right, step out. Step out for me. In my heart, I knew I had to, but I struggled, I struggled, I struggled. After 3 days and 3 nights, thank God, he gave me strength to settle in. I remember I asked to see my father. We had a talk together. I told my father, I said, Father, I hid things from you for years. for a year, over a year. I said, I was baptized. My father said, why don't you tell me? He said, I will never forbid you to be baptized if that's the way you feel, that of the Lord. But he said, I'm hurt because you hide it from me. So I told my father, I'm sorry. I did not have the courage to tell him. And I told him everything. I said, I tried to keep myself away from the communion. My father said, I noticed that. I knew that. And I told my father, I said, the Lord has shown me a new way. I cannot go in this way anymore. I have to follow the Lord. And my father said, I knew all these things. I consider Methodist just as a field. I'm not sectarian. If you feel you cannot go this way, he said, of course I'm disappointed. But you have to go the way the Lord leads you. And dear brothers and sisters, all the difficulties, all the troubles, the mountains of difficulties of my imagination all fade away. The Lord set me free. By the grace of God, I was able to meet with my brothers and sisters. Not on any ground of division. Not on any ground of special truth. Not on any ground of special organization. Not on any ground of special person to follow. But the Lord brought me out of all these divisions and just stepped on Christ. On the unity of the body of Christ. I'm free to fellowship with all the children of God. I'm open to all the truth of God. The Lord began to work. Souls are being saved. Many are attracted to the Lord. But during that time, persecution began. Even though we were just a very small group, less than 100, and yet, oh, the persecution, not from the world, but from the Christian. I remember very well a pastor, a Methodist pastor. He sent me a magazine. And he put circles and lines over certain passages, asked me to read it. It's an article on communism. He accused me of that. And you know, in my youthful innocence, I knew this pastor was not saved. I had the courage. I went to him and preached the gospel to him. We were accused of many things. We were put out from many places. We were greatly persecuted. Every step of my step was watched. They couldn't do anything to me because my father was the pastor of that church. He was the president of the director of the university. They couldn't do anything to me. But I have to tell you one thing. My father suffered a great deal for me. I am not trying to praise my father. But I have to say this. When I was following the Lord in simplicity, because they couldn't get me on me, just a young boy, they got on my father. All the denominations in that city, all the schools, hospitals, institutions related to all these denominations, they met together for 3 days just to discuss us. We are nothing. And people openly accuse my father. Look at your son. You know what my father said? My father was a wise man. He quoted the word of the scripture. You know, Gamaliel said, if it is of God, don't touch it. If it is of man, it will go away. That's my father's answer. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, my father was persecuted for my sake, yet he never said a word to me. He gave me absolute liberty. I was a youngster at the time. In my sophomore, junior year. But my father gave me perfect liberty. And I have to testify that I was so busy again, I didn't have time to read my books. I do not encourage young people not to study. My sister and I, were both in college at that time. And in many classes, we were in the same class, so we bought only one book because we were poor. And she always had a book. I never seemed to read. I didn't have the time. My mother was so worried because I was out. In the morning, I went to university to study, and in the afternoon, I disappeared. I didn't come back until late. I was doing visiting, and I was doing everything, you know? But I have to testify one thing. It is for the glory of the Lord. You don't know how dull I was. When I was a little boy, in kindergarten, I was trying to memorize just one sentence, two sentences. I don't know the English name for these two flowers. Just to remember the names of the two flowers. One flower is like a cup. The other flower is like the crown of a clock. No. You know what I mean? What do you call that? Huh? No, anyway. The sentence runs like this. This flower is like a cup, and that flower is like the crown. And I spent hours on it and couldn't remember. That was always my problem. I liked to study. I was a bookworm. Even now I am still. I liked to study. I can remember in my grade school, after the school is over and came home, we had a snack and then I would study until dark. I liked to study. But the more I study, the more I get confused. I memorized something and then I forgot. As I continued to memorize, I forgot. I don't know, I overworked myself. Always like that. Very dull person. Most dull. I think nobody is as dull as I was. As I am. But I have to testify that during those years in school, I did not purposely not read. I had to give my time to the Lord. I prayed much. Prayed much. And the Lord heard my prayer. He gave me back the time, as it were, I spent on Him. Miracles after miracles happened in my study. Anyway. During those years, on the one hand, it was difficult, very difficult, with all these pressures and persecutions going on. But on the other hand, I have to tell you that these were most precious years. The Lord was so near. Oh, the Lord was so near. So near. You may think that I usually preach very long. You should know the way I preach at that time. You know, in the early days, Brother Nee used to preach 3 hours at a stretch. And I used to preach, if not 3 hours, at least maybe 2 hours. I don't know where the word came from. You know, sometimes I look back and try to remember, recall the days, my early days. I wonder where the word came from. I don't know. I didn't know much. And yet, I have so much to say. I don't know why. I don't know. Dear brothers and sisters, in a sense, during those days, the Lord showed in a practical way what a local church is. We do not know anything. We look to the Lord for everything. The authority of the Lord by His Holy Spirit is our only God. So far as we know, we allow the Lord to take His place as the head of the body, so far as we know. So far as we know, in spite of all the persecutions that come to us, our hearts are open to all the children of God in that locality. We do not know much about the truth of the local church. But so far as our understanding goes, we will learn to practice it. Probably. Forgive me, I'll continue a little bit. After 2 years, I graduated. That became another crisis in my life. Immediately after I was graduated, our dear brother Nee and other workers, they felt that I should join them, serving the Lord together. That was in 1935. But I myself withdrew. I felt I couldn't do it. I knew, dear brothers and sisters, one day I had to serve the Lord. The Lord had called me. I knew it. But on the other hand, I hesitated for two reasons. One reason is I felt I was not ready. I had never been to Bible school. I need time to study the Bible. And another reason is I would rather stay where I was because I love these brothers and sisters. I don't want to go away. I thought that they were under my care. So when the brothers asked me to go to Shanghai to join with them, you know, they pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and said, "You must go, you must go." So finally, I said, "All right, I will come, but I won't promise you how long I will be there." I went there a week and slid back. At the same time, I was trying to find a job, a teaching job. Of course, it was a policy of the denominations. Those who come to our meeting will not be employed. So I cannot find employment with a religious work. I have to find employment in the secular world. But, dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you a tragedy. A tragedy. It was during that time, one young brother, whom I loved very much, he was in high school. His family was in another city. And after the school was over, before he went back to his home, he and a few friends, they swam in the river. And he was drowned. They notified me. His parents were not there. I had to take care of everything until their parents came. After we sent his body to the funeral parlor, to the cemetery, I came home. For a whole night, I cursed. I wrestled. I blame him for everything. I say, Lord, you're unfair. Such a young life you take. It's unfair. You know we need brothers. That's not right. I wouldn't let him go. I struggled through the night until the morning. I wouldn't give up. I told the Lord that I couldn't agree to that. It was just too much. He shouldn't do that. My spirit was in rebellion against God. And in the morning, I went to the sitting room, shut the door. I knelt down and prayed. I was guilty, blaming the Lord for what had happened. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, all right. Do you know that brother died for you? Do you know that he is so young and yet his life is taken away? How long do you think you can live? How long do you think you can wait until you come out and serve him? That brother died for you. It's a lesson for you. Anyway, that is the way the Lord spoke. So I told the Lord, all right, you have me. I had another thought in my mind. Everybody was away that day, fortunately. Only my father and I were in the home. We had a long talk together. I told him, the Lord has shown me that I have to go. You know what my father said? My father said, I knew it long ago. If you doubt your calling, who is calling? You were trying to find a job. I knew you won't be able to get it. He said, even though I will like you to serve together with me, but so long as you serve him, it's all right. It's all right. We knelt down together, and I could never forget the prayer of my father. He committed me to the Lord. And he said, Lord, not just one child, but everyone you can have. He just committed me to the Lord, and let me go. I left home from that day on. And brothers and sisters, I was privileged to meet with many brothers and sisters who were way ahead of me. And they took care of me. They taught me. They helped me in many, many ways. I was just learning to serve the Lord. But I have to continue a little bit just to finish it. After I have served the Lord for many years in different parts of China, you know, at that time, all I knew was the local church. That was all I knew. Everywhere we went, we preached the gospel. We gather God's people. We baptize them. We taught them to remember the Lord at his table. And we try to help them knowing more about the Lord and about the Bible. But you know, in a way, my work at least is mostly involved with what I call building the local church. And after doing that for some years, I get tired. I got tired. That came to 1942. That was the war time. We fled to India. And the Lord allowed us to stay there in a sister's home for over a month. And during that month of quietness, the Lord began to open my ears. I saw that for the local church to really work, it is more than just to gather God's people, get them baptized, set up the table. It's much more than that. They have to catch a vision of the glorious church that the Lord is at. Brothers and sisters, it opens. I began to see there is more than the technicality of a local church. There is the reality of the local church as the church universal in all its principles is being practiced. Oh, then I began to see there will be no limit to it. No limit to it. The riches of Christ is in the church local. Dear brothers and sisters, remember this thing. By the grace of God, He has continuously opening up something new. There's no end to it, dear brothers and sisters, no end to it. This church, the eternal purpose of God, that which is going to satisfy His heart, there is no limitation. There is no end to it. Do not think that you know it all. We just get a glimpse of it. There's more. There's more. Thank God in all these years, brothers and sisters. Sometimes through deep affliction. Sometimes by wonderful mercy of God, the Lord gradually opens me to see that delight of His heart, the church. How wonderful it is. How glorious it is. It is nothing but the extension of Christ. It is Christ extended. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, I don't know. I was prepared to speak to you on church truth. Church truth. But I cannot do it now. I feel that I have to give my testimony to you. I believe in one church. By the grace of God, I want to practice this one church. I cannot see the division, the separation between the church universal and the church local. I believe that God's people should be filled with a spirit which is universal. But God's people should walk in the way of the local. As a testimony to the world today. You read Revelation. You find in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. the seven golden rings. The church logo. But you come to Revelation 21 and 22. One judgment day. The church universe. How does God come to heaven? That church universal. The work is done today in the church logo. It is the church logo that leads to the realization of the church universal. If we do not live in the light of the local church, how can we expect God to have the reality of the church universal? Again I say, today it is the local church in which he works. One day you don't find a local church. It is the church universal. Shall we pray? Just be afraid to pray at the moment.